Hey, Rafer.
Hey, Kristen.
You know, I'm not a big comic book nerd.
You don't say.
No.
I know this from the past.
And you know what, Rafer? I don't think you're much of a comic book nerd either.
I'm not.
Or in a more politically correct sort of parlance, I don't think either of us are comic book experts.
Comic book experts, comic book buffs. I will say this. I'm actually a big fan of underground comics, the stuff from the 60s, like R. Crumb and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff I really know actually pretty well. But when it comes to the kind of the real deal, mainstream, the superhero comics, DC, Marvel, I was never a huge fan, and somehow they just always, I don't know, they never were on my radar somehow.
Well, you know what is so awesome about today?
What?
That we have a real comic book nerd with us to help us with this show, because we're going to talk about the Green Lantern with a real, honest-to-goodness, lifelong comic book expert, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, also known as the sports contributor for The Takeaway.
This is pretty exciting. Ibrahim, welcome.
Welcome.
It's awesome to be here, especially to talk about comic books.
All right. So before we continue talking with Ibrahim, let me introduce myself. This is Kristen Meinzer, producer for The Takeaway.
And I'm Rafer Guzman, movie critic for Newsday, and this is Movie Date.
We are so excited to have Ibrahim with us today. Hey, Ibrahim.
Hey, movie date. That sounds great. I like that.
Yeah. Usually it's a guy and a girl talking about the movies, but today it's a girl and a guy and a guy.
You're the third wheel.
Movies. Yeah. Excellent. So
I'm the wingman.
Yes.
Ibrahim, what did you think about the Green Lantern?
Oh, I had so many thoughts. I think DC Comics, who owns this franchise, they did a great job. They found a character that no one really knows about and has a great story. So they don't, you know, everyone knows Batman and Wonder Woman and Superman, and we beat them to death. Now DC, you know, Marvel's been coming with everybody that they have. The Avengers, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Spider-Man, X-Men, like they're just ready to go for the next 10, 15 years.
Okay, so this is interesting. So, okay, now we should say maybe for listeners, Ibrahim, can you give a brief description of who the Green Lantern is and what this film is about?
Well, what I like about it is that it really deals with a creation story. The force of will has been harnessed essentially to be used as a peacekeeping force and a peacekeeping energy, and
right.
It manifests itself in these rings, and people from all beings from all different planets are given these rings and are essentially intergalactic cops.
Right.
And that's who the Green Lantern is. He ends up becoming one of these Green Lantern Corps, one of these intergalactic cops.
In Sector 2087 or whatever.
2814.
2814. Okay.
We're so glad Ibrahim's here for that.
I want to point something out that I was just picking random numbers out of my head, and Ibrahim actually knew that number.
Yes.
That was not written. I'm looking at the piece of paper he's got here. That number is not written there. That number is in his head. Okay.
Well,
so,
Rafer, what did you think of the movie, though?
Okay, Ibrahim, I have to say, I thought this movie was really, really bad. I thought this was one of the worst superhero movies I have ever seen. I thought Thor was the worst superhero movie I had ever seen until I saw this one. Tell me this. What was the appeal of this movie for you? Was there something about this movie that you thought actually got you excited, or that you thought was engaging or compelling? Because I have got to tell you, there was almost nothing in it that I found interesting.
What I did like about it was, and this is what most comic book people love, the cheesiness. There's a certain amount of cheesy corniness that you like want. That
so you like the cheesy.
That you're cheating on.
Can I ask you, Ibrahim? The cheesiness of the animation was so distracting to me. I was just saying earlier on The Takeaway that I thought that I saw more realistic melding of humans and animation in that video with DJ Scat Cat and Paula Abdul back in the late 80s. I thought it was so completely the opposite of seamless. It was just terrible. None of the animation seemed convincing. Did you like that? Did you think it was fun and corny?
Yeah, when you're talking about cheesiness, do you mean the cheesiness in the stories and the interaction, or do you mean the cheesiness of the effects?
Okay. So there's a couple things. The classic, the hero gets the girl.
Yeah.
You know, the hero has father issues. You know, these classic sort of hero epic things. I love that stuff. That
right.
stuff, psychologically, I think it really connects with a lot of the people who are watching these things. What DC failed to do, I think, in this is that, like, X-Men First Class, Marvel was able to connect with comic book readers in a genuine way. Like, me and my brother collected X-Men for 10 years, 10, 15 years, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and connect with people that aren't comic book readers. People both
like
it.
Right, that's right. That's right.
This, I think this flick fails to do that. So it's going to appeal primarily to just the comic book fans. And so that means, in a sense, that it's a failure as a film. But for us, the comic book nerds, we're like, yes, all the way through. I do think some of the animation was cheesy, but think about it. Think about what they were saying. Fear, will, from a moral, from a framework of those things, it was deep. There was some deepness to it that was, that you can't even, you, it's hard to explain, but you just feel it. And that's what it's driven on. These colors define emotion. From a comic book perspective, that's so deep for a comic book.
Yeah, and I could tell you were really into it. You were leaning forward towards the screen. You wore a green t-shirt. You were, you clapped at the end of the movie. I could tell you were really enjoying it.
I want to, listen, I've, in the past, I was never a Green Lantern fan until the past 5 years. And I started collecting this recent series that they had. And I was just blown away by the writing. Absolutely
really?
Blown away. And to be able to see it on the big screen, there is nothing like seeing these things on the big screen. If you've been reading those comic books on the flat, you know, one, two-dimensional, you know, thing, mm-hmm, just to be able to have it pop out in front of you, is fat. And then it was in 3D. That was crazy.
Bonus.
Yeah, exactly.
Rafer and I, Rafer, have we ever said that? Have we ever said, thank God that was in 3D?
You know what?
I don't think we've ever said that once on this show.
I think you're right. I will probably never say those words. That is so funny.
The only time I said that is when I saw Captain EO at Epcot Center. I said, thank God that's in 3D. But I cannot think of any other time I've said that.
No, no, I don't think I can either. So but this is interesting. I think, and the predictions I've read for this movie have been in the $50 million range for an opening weekend, which is not that good for a movie of this size and with this, you know, with expectations so large being put on it. And I think it's interesting what you're saying, that this clearly seems to be a movie that is going to appeal to the fans, perhaps definitely Green Lantern fans, perhaps comic book fans who may not be huge Green Lantern fans, but it's going to have kind of a limited audience, and it's not going to be able to draw in, you know, the non-fans like me, which X-Men was able to do and which Spider-Man was able to do, and even Iron Man. But I do kind of feel like, what's the point? What's the point of making a movie? I mean, Superman, the original Superman, which if you've gone back and seen it lately, looks a little cheesy. You know, it looks a little, it's pretty corny.
Are you kidding me? It's beautiful. I mean, I just rewatched it recently.
Did you really? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
They have long, sweeping scenes that, you know, today's audiences don't have the attention span.
No way. and it's also very romantic. It's a very romantic film. Mm-hmm. But that movie, when they made that movie, it was not a superhero movie in the meaning of that term that we now you know use. It was just a movie, and I have to say I prefer the movie to the superhero movie. Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe what it is actually more so, it's not a superhero flick. Maybe it's a comic book movie.
Yeah, I guess,
and,
so,
you know, and what these things are the visual representation of comic books on this big screen, and that is priceless to a comic book fan. Like, that is something, you know, to see Thor or see any of these flicks on a big screen is absolutely golden.
But you can get that in a video game too, though, right? I mean, you can see this kind of, you can, if all you want to see is the panels brought to life, I mean, you can see that on TV. You can see that in a video game. Why is it really the size of the screen that kind of jazzes you? Do you know what I'm saying?
I'm with two men in a studio suddenly.
How many inches does it take? How many? Sorry, Kristen. I didn't mean to take us there. I didn't mean to exclude you from this conversation.
It's okay. I'm just looking at, you know. All right. So I think we have a conclusion here, though, to this, though, right? We understand that if you're, I think you said it really well, Ibrahim. This is a movie that's for comic fans. And Rafer, you're not a comic fan.
No.
Me, I'm not a comic fan. And I'm not going to watch a video game of it either.
No, that's true.
I'm not going to watch
a
movie of it. I don't think it's going to change anything. But do we have anything redeeming to say about this movie?
I mean, I don't. And here's one thing I want to say. I feel like when I go back and look at all the superhero movies in the past, the one thing I always remember is Alfred Hitchcock said a movie is only as good as its villain. Mm. And I really feel like when I look back at the movies I can't remember any of the villains. The villains don't stick out in my mind. And so, and therefore the conflicts don't stick out in my mind. The battle and the drama doesn't stick out in my mind. And so the movie doesn't stick out in my mind. And this has a bad villain.
You know, I'm going to push back only to say that this is the weakest point of any kind of comic book movie, in mm-hmm. that the biopic is really hard to sort of gin up. It's, you know, for this one, the real value of it is going to come with Sinestro. In the comic book is the villain. And I love how they deal with him in this, because they deal with him in a real, this is the beginning of Sinestro. And so this is just setting up for the actual, I think will be the better of the films, will be the next one. And I'm sure there's going to be a very big Sinestro as the villain piece to it.
Right.
For the comic book fans, there's no secret there. You know, Sinestro is a big villain. So I think the nature of them as serials gives you, you have to give a pause and let them evolve and come together. So that means you have to keep going.
That's exactly
the problem. I feel everything you're saying, I think, yes, that's why I hate this. You're correct on absolutely everything. That's why I'm so angry.
I completely agree. Ibrahim, thank you so much for coming here today.
And
really appreciate your shedding light on why anyone would care about this movie.
I have to thank you guys, because to be able to talk about this publicly, it's almost like, you know, like therapy in a weird way. Because this is like, you know, I want to talk about the minute I walk out of there, I'm like, where's the... Are you a comic book nerd? Are you a comic book nerd? Where are you? Let's talk about this. You know, that's how we are. So right. To be able to talk about this with, you know, it's like I'm converting you guys to this.
Not
you know,
quite.
This Green Lantern religion.
All right. I want to close out by presenting Ibrahim with a parting gift, or perhaps a gesture of goodwill, call it. Ibrahim, I present you with your own Green Lantern ring.
Awesome. That is awesome.
Forged in the fires of the studio. And here's...
It's beautiful. It's glowing. Wow.
Here's what it says. You are the Corps' newest member. Wear your power ring with pride.
In brightest day and darkest night. I forget the rest of it.
Superman on Green Lantern ain't got another on me.
Rafer, before we go, I just wanted to do a little shout-out to one of our wonderful listeners who wrote into us on our Facebook page.
Okay.
So, you know, Shoshana, I'm so sorry. I don't think I know how to pronounce your last name. Shoshana Autrichter? Shoshana says, I love your podcast and would love to hear your thoughts on Tree of Life.
Oh, boy.
And my first response is, we love you, too.
Yes.
We really do. And my second response is, after seeing Green Lantern, I think this is going to be the worst movie I see this year. And I think I may have cursed myself, because then I went and I saw Tree of Life afterwards. And actually, that was the worst movie I saw this year.
Oh, you really think it's the worst movie you've seen this year?
I'm trying to think which one would I, if I had to force myself to sit through another one of these two movies again, Tree of Life or Green Lantern, what would it be?
Wow. Okay. Well... All right, so for anyone who does not know, Tree of Life is the new Terrence Malick film. Terrence Malick is kind of one of the gods of cinema. Brad Pitt, Sean Penn. Weirdly enough, Sean Penn plays Brad Pitt's son, but it's much of the film is told in flashback with a young kid playing the Sean Penn character. It's an art film. It's not a normal traditional film.
It's an art school film.
Oh. Ouch.
Mother, father, brother, sky,
yes,
mother,
yes.
Father.
A lot of hypnotic disembodied dialogue that is not actually coming out of people's mouths, but is more being sort of offered up to the universe in prayer.
And let's look at this waterfall for a while.
Yes.
While we whisper.
A lot of dappled sunlight through tree leaves.
Dinosaurs.
People walking along sort of an afterlife beach in their clothes, you know.
Fully suit.
Yeah. Sean Penn in his suit walking along the beach. It's pretty, it can be pretty rough going. I found the movie so beautiful and so personal and so expressive and so evocative that I would recommend it to you, even though I would say that ultimately I also found it really tiresome and boring and preposterous. But it's so rare to me to see like a real work of personal art on screen that I feel like it's it's just an experience worth having. Kristen, what would you say?
I would say, Shoshana, you can watch 15 minutes of this movie and kind of get the whole thing. If you feel tired after 15 minutes, I say, go ahead and leave. That's fine. That's totally, totally fine.
Sacrilege. I never walk out of a movie early. That's my rule. Never walk out of a movie early. But I understand what you're saying, Kristen. I understand what you're saying. It's a tough road to hoe. Here's what I would say. This, I think, sums it up perfectly in terms of the way that the movie has polarized people and perhaps has even polarized individual people within themselves, like me. The movie was famously booed at Cannes. People actually, you know, got up out of their seats, you know, stood up and began booing the film, reportedly. And then they gave it the top prize anyway. They gave it the Palme d'Or anyway. So that's kind of my reaction.
And Shoshana, there you go. Do with that what you will. Keep on listening. And if you have any feedback you want to give us on the podcast, if you have any movies you want to suggest, listeners, please write into our Facebook page.
Did you know that you can follow Movie Date on Twitter and Facebook? You can also give us feedback on the podcast and tell us what movies you want us to see next.
Log on to themoviedate.org to find out more. And thanks so much for listening.